All right, Cole. What are you doing this time?
Gary, you know me. I love personality tests.
You do. Yeah. You're like all of my old coworkers.
Put one of those in front of me. I will take it to learn more about myself. It's a team building exercise. Sure. Oh, man. Whether it's Myers-Briggs, StrengthsFinder, Enneagram.
Which Star Wars are you?
Yeah. Which Star Wars are you? Which Minion are you?
Yeah. Which Minion?
BuzzFeed, MySpace, Facebook. People are still doing the
Harry Potter house you're in, even though that seems like we should stop.
Yeah.
People are still seeing if you're
I wouldn't want to be in any of those
noble,
houses.
Dumb or evil.
So I got a brand new one here. It's so new, it doesn't even have a name. And I figured that we would take ours individually and we would see what our result is.
Okay.
Okay.
Sure.
The results are going to be given back to you. It's a type indicator like Myers-Briggs, but it's going to be three letters. Okay.
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 All right.
So let's fill them out in private. Oh man, some quandaries in there, Gary.
Yeah.
Ooh, really tough stuff.
Animated porn video. Is that what they're called? I can't remember what those things are called. Whatever the abbreviation is for like those weird anime porn things. It was a joke I was trying to make, but I never understood those.
Okay. Yeah. All right. No. Let's see. What's your three letter indicator?
Oh, that's the joke I was trying to make.
Oh, like AMV?
AMV. Yeah, there we go.
That's an anime music video. That's like when they cut.
There's porn ones too. PMV?
Maybe. I don't
know. Music video. There's one of them that is, I learned about in the Slack like 5 years ago, where it's just like thrusting and you know, various porn things, all to the exact same song about a robot going, fuck me, and then just use me. There's like this very specific song about a horny robot.
Okay.
Sung from the perspective of the horny robot.
Wait, sex robot from Whitest Kids You Know?
It might be a sex robot. I don't. Or one of the relatives.
Where did he come from?
Yeah.
Put it in, big boy.
Yeah, it's all part of the same family. Well, it's like step family. It works. Okay.
Well, I mean, yes, yes. Yep. Mine, I got TLC.
Oh, waterfalls.
A little bit of tender loving care. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, wait, there can't be a video game called that. Sex robot. Where did you get? When did you get in here?
My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Abject Suffering, Abject Suffering, Characters Workshopped.
You got a character for us this week, Gary?
You know, I really blew my load with Hamster Brat.
Yeah, okay.
I have at some point, sports juice will land on the show when I don't have any other digressions.
How did sports juice? I don't want to. We don't even have to say what sports juice is. How did sports juice fly at Duckstream?
Sports juice went pretty well, I think.
Okay.
Several people tuned in just in the middle.
Okay.
Of just sports juice, which I really appreciate. Huh. Like, what a fun thing just to tune in the middle.
Right.
And there's about an hour of sports juice out there. A lot of lore.
Okay.
For sports juice.
This week, this is a Cole pick. We're talking about the DVD game, full motion video thing called Tender Loving Care.
Yeah.
This is made by the team behind this, at least technically. It's the seventh guest people.
Specifically the 11th Hour people.
Right. The writer of 11th Hour.
Yes.
Deciding.
This is so sad.
Yep.
This idea of this wouldn't make it as a movie.
Uh-huh.
You know, so let's throw some little choicelets in there to make it as good as you know, Dead Plumbers Don't Wear Ties or whatever. You know, the Dead Plumber always.
Dead Plumbers Don't Wear Ties. It's the gritty, edgy, spooky reimagining.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, though.
Yeah,
like they decided to make one of those, basically.
Right.
Like this started as Cinemax, and then turned into this.
Yeah, when you land below, when you can't land on Cinemax, when you can't be like a slightly weird. That was good. When you can't be like a slightly racier Lifetime original movie, you know, kind of deal. You gotta make it an interactive hook. You gotta hire a very workmanlike British actor. Plus just two absolute
worst actors I've ever seen.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And anything. Mm-hmm. Like this is you're not a puzzle of flesh.
No.
You know, you're not Phantasmagoria, which is also very horny, of course. Mm-hmm. This is much more nakedly horny. It's basically like The Hand That Rocked the Cradle.
Yeah. You know, like except single white kid. Female. Yeah.
Yes. Or like single white female.
Mm-hmm. It's a tout sexual psychological thriller.
Movies I have cranked to as a teen.
No.
But I can finally play it as a game.
Mm-hmm. I can finally play it as a game and have it analyze me personally.
Yes.
And possibly make alterations to the feature long movie that I am watching in 5 to 10 minute chunks.
Yeah. A idea that I think you and I both have affection for, between like for me, it being the one thing I like about that one Silent Hill.
Yeah.
And then it being part of Until Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it's a cool idea. Mm-hmm. I don't know that that part of it has ever been totally successful.
No.
You know, it's a little silly.
Oh yeah.
As a thing, I don't, you know, a thematic perception test.
Right.
TAT.
Yeah. Wildly outdated and discredited.
Yeah, the whole thing feels very discredited, and it's one of it ends up making one of the most discredited things you can masturbate to. Like most things you can masturbate to are still highly credited, you know, like I only masturbate to things that get full approval of the bar, you know, like that needs to have accreditation or I'm not doing it. You can't masturbate to DeVry.
Yeah. I need the APA to really just weigh in on this one before I finish.
Yeah. Whereas this is just, you know, it's masturbating to something that has been incredibly discredited.
Yeah. So the idea here, like the broad story that is happening is there's this young couple who recently their daughter died in a car accident. Okay.
Yes.
The wife kind of went into this kind of like semi-catatonic state where she can't really do anything except for like knit things for their dead daughter, not acknowledging that she's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is a world that somehow has like a psychoanalyst ghost who comes to ask us questions, but none for her. Like she can't go get therapy or counseling.
No, the counseling has to come to her in the form of
a sex nurse.
Yeah, sex nurse. It just like literally femme fatale dot nurse.
Yes, a very very hot. Like it is. It's like in The Office when Michael accidentally hires the stripper. You know, as the nurse, like, because, you know, he hires the same person. He thinks she's a nurse to hand out the big check because she wore a new nurse's outfit. And he's like, oh, she's putting herself through medical school. That's really good for her. It's that.
Yeah.
Not that there can't be sexy nurses, but you know what I mean? Like it is coded as very something for daddy.
Yeah, it like it's Halloween costume sexy nurse.
Yes,
right.
There we go.
You know, just you know, she comes in and this immediately becomes almost like a love triangle kind of deal where he's way into her. And then he's way into the nurse and the nurse is into the patient. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the patient is into knitting purple things for her dead daughter. Who she wanted to
way into her dead daughter.
So it's a weird triangle. It's more like a V.
Yeah. It's a U. Yeah. It's a weird U with the dead daughter as this kind of silent letter.
Yeah. But like this is interrupted occasionally. So the other therapist, this therapist ghost will played by John Hurt. It's not Will Hurt. Okay, yes. Different.
Yeah, John Hurt.
Hurt, who like will like give a little it's almost exactly the psychologist from Until Dawn, just like an oblique, like cryptic statement and ask you like a vague question.
Very leading.
Very vague leading question. And then you get a little quiz about like, oh, you know, what do you feel about the husband, Michael? You know, is he juvenile? Is he, you know, is he sad? Is he sympathetic?
Yeah.
You know, things like that. Just like asking your interpretation of things. And then it gives you like a little seventh guest thing where you're going like room to room and node to node, like reading diaries and stuff. And then you advance to the next thing.
The sentences work out. So I was researching about this because this is like a you know, several hours to play through. Mm-hmm. The movie version's a couple hours. That's more prep than I usually do mm-hmm. for the show.
Yes.
So I was doing supplementary research. Yes. And I got to give credit. I'm going to just repeat somebody else's funny joke.
Okay.
Here. There's a PC Gamer article about this from Richard Corbett. I don't know anything about Richard Corbett. Just standard disclaimers. Mm-hmm. But he said, this was my experience as well. He said, you spend the entire time in variance of this conversation. Allison, Catherine is helping me. Michael, Catherine is not helping. I hate Catherine. Catherine, I am so helping and I'll prove it with logic. Michael, your logic is sound, but I'm not buying it. Catherine, I also have boobs. Michael, I find myself temporarily convinced by your arguments. Allison, I'm so happy Catherine has finally given me a reason to live again. Michael, get that bitch out of my house. Dr. John Hurt, goodness, how intriguing. I had no idea. What do you think about all this? Repeat. For hours of treading water. And like, yeah, that is basically what the story felt like.
Yeah,
Variations of that argument. And then John Hurt being like, ooh, well, I don't know.
What a saucy development.
it has a real piano lesson or piano teacher who only has to say one lesson ahead of a student kind of thing that John Hurt just asks you to do all the psychoanalysis for him.
Yeah.
It's very funny.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and you get to you know, I don't know if you see any full human boob in this. I saw, you know, some boob adjacency, some side.
It had to be censored for the app store. So I have to imagine there was some softcore
in there a little bit. Looking at screenshots of it, there's some definite like side boob and butt and a little bit of full boob.
Right.
Like you can find some real nudity to this. Mm-hmm. And unlike most video games, they're humans.
Right.
So I know that's going to be a turnoff for a lot of people. They are humans having sex. Yes. It's not cartoons or monsters. So
right.
I understand.
Yeah.
So
this is a very weird product. I learned about it because people will like, you know, post about it occasionally. Like it comes up as like an interesting, weird little relic of a different mm-hmm. thing. I had no idea it was like an interactive DVD. I just knew it was on GOG. I thought to me, this felt like it was a, you know, like an FMV PC game, right?
Interactive DVDs are fun.
Yes.
As an idea. None of them are good, mm-hmm. But I have a weird affection for them. There was a Star Trek one that mm-hmm. me and my friend Derek, we talked about before, played. And if you did well enough at it, you unlock something called the Picard dossier.
Ooh.
And it said that on the back of it. It's like, unlock the Picard dossier in big like letters. Like,
I'll try and stop
kids
me.
Want to do. Yeah, exactly. Like, oodalolly, what a day. And we just played this horrible, horrible version of one of these over and over with all these no-name, like no actors from Star Trek. Just, you know, guys in costumes mm-hmm. doing it. Just unlock the Picard dossier, which was like his files on his crew and how much he liked each of them, basically. This was huge. There's a D&D one of these mm-hmm. I used to have.
Yeah.
This shit's very in my wheelhouse.
I have had no less than four people propose the idea of an interactive DVD to me as though they came up with the concept.
Seriously?
Yeah.
It's gone away so long that people just forgot about them.
Yeah. I'm talking like between 2004 and today, no less than four people have come up with that. Yeah.
It was such a big thing during like the Encarta days mm-hmm. of the late 90s, you know, the Seventh Guest CD-ROM.
Yeah,
everyone's got a CD-ROM. This is what we have to do. Mm-hmm. And then they made Philips CDI. Like they made consoles about it.
Yep.
Basically. Yeah. Yeah. That's weird.
Yep. No, and they weren't especially plugged into games, but it would come up that I would, you know, was into video games and they would say, I had this idea. Like, you know how that's DVDs have menus?
Yeah. Those even existed on DVDs, like just movies.
Oh, yeah. Well, we talked about the Final Destination 3.
Yeah. I found that in a thrift store. I bought the DVD. I haven't watched it yet to play the game version of it. But so there's that. But I remember seeing kind of versions of that as special features, like maybe on like Austin Powers 3 or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some dumb DVD I had.
No.
Having a version of that. Like it's just, it's, and then, but every time it comes up, we have a cultural amnesia about it because I remember when Black Mirror did their episode. That was that?
The Bandersnatch,
Bandersnatch. Everyone lost their minds like it was a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no, this is 1994 tech.
Yeah.
This is a Sega CD game.
Mm-hmm.
This has nothing to do with new.
It's the it's the way VR was up until the Quest came out, actually.
Yeah.
Or yeah, like, yeah. You know, PSVR, like it seemed like every 3 years it was
the Angel
Quiz. Yeah. It really is the Angel Quiz. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not, I mean, that's machinima. If you just replace that with actors, it's not that different than Gabriel Knight 2.
Yeah.
It's not that old, or it's not that new of a concept.
We just
have a cultural amnesia about it.
Mm-hmm. But this is weird because it has like these, you know, because it is doing the psychoanalyst thing and because it definitely had like is trying to play with a currency of you, the player, as a voyeur and calling you out for it.
Yeah.
You know, in some ways, like I can see that being a little bit subversive, you know, for an audience. And this also being like canted very particularly at an adult audience as
Sure.
But not being like smut. You know,
even that idea gets around all the time, too. Just a reminder of me playing Grand Theft Auto 5 and it calling me gay at the end.
Right.
Grand Theft Auto 5 includes this.
Yeah.
It includes a tat at the end of it.
It does. Yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah.
It's, I mean, there's just something about, something wrong with our memories that we keep coming back to this idea. Looking at screenshots of stuff that came later where he just starts showing you woodcuts. And there's like a naked woman holding a stick. Mm-hmm. And the question John Hurt asked you is, if this woman showed up to my house, I would invite her in, put a blanket on her, not answer the door, or ask her where she got the 4 foot long penis.
She is leaning up against a 4 foot long penis.
Is she?
Yeah.
Where's the penis in that?
It's on the right side of the frame.
Oh, I didn't see the right side of the penis. I just saw like, it looked like a balloon.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't see the option. It looked like she was sticking just a balloon on the side. That is a gigantic penis.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know where she got it. I'm not going to like the answer.
Like, my question weird, is, like, what do you plan to do with it?
Well, she's sounding it with a sprig of dill.
Oh, that sounds very unpleasant.
It's incredibly painful. Yeah. And John Hurt's going to come out and be like, you find that painful? Interesting. What do you think about it?
I think there are very few things that I want in my urethra, please.
Yeah. Urine's good. And then cum is better. But then that's it.
Yeah. That's about
blood
it.
Blood sometimes.
Mm,
sometimes
as a treat.
Straight blood.
Yeah.
But for the most part, just cum and urine.
Yeah.
Not to kink shame exactly, but to say it is, I find it's an unrelatable kink.
Expressing it as a personal preference.
Yes. To kink chat.
Yes. Yeah. I do not see the appeal. It seems like something that is asking for a certain amount of trouble, but everybody's job is, you know, you got to assess your own risk.
You got to figure out your own risk and what feels good to you. I used to, one of my friend's girlfriends who I was friends with on AOL Instant Messenger days used to send me links to sounding videos all the time.
She was
suspiciously so. Maybe so, like in retrospect now, but I hated it because you just like open a video link is before you could do previews or whatever. And I was just like, oh, cool, a link. It's 19, you know, it's 2002, a link. That's got to be great. And you'd click on the link because URL is where it was happening.
Uh-huh.
And then you just see somebody working a dick like a mortar and pestle, like towns and getting to town.
Yeah. loading the musket. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Somebody loading the musket. And I was like, Jesus Christ. Wow.
it just seems I don't know. Seems dicey to me.
There's a guy in one of the episodes of The Boys who shrinks down to sound another guy.
Huh.
Like that happens at some point. And then he gets scared and grows and explodes the dude. Because the boys and everything. That's what happens in it.
Okay.
Can I digress?
You may, yes.
Do we have time for a digression?
I believe we do.
Me and Liv watched a show recently that I want to talk to you about. I was thinking about using it for Quackstack, but I wanted more people to hear about it.
Okay.
Me and Liv, just because we wanted some dumb entertainment to rot our minds, clicked on a thing on Hulu called Daughters of the Cult.
This is being promoted to me.
Yes. It is. I'm not necessarily going to recommend it. I'm going to tell you everything that's interesting about it now.
Okay.
It is a 5-episode Hulu documentary about the LeBaron family.
Okay.
Who were a fucking bonkers, murderous, polygamous cult, Mormon offset cult.
Oh, okay. I was gonna ask where this is based out of because that does color things tremendously.
They spent almost no time in Mormon lands. Like they, okay. they started, they have a compound in Mexico that still exists to this day.
Mm.
But you know, a lot of murders, true crime stuff. The framing of it is through these daughters and children who survived.
Okay.
There's something like 5,000 LeBarons. Like,
wow.
They had so many kids, and just everybody had a billion wives and you just had tons of kids. So the, right. you know, they have this family tree. The things that they're fascinating about it, other than like, this is probably worth a Wikipedia dive. You know, I'm okay. not saying it's worth 5 hours of anyone's time to actually right, watch right. this thing. It's okay. But the learning about this guy is interesting. The thing that's fucking fascinating to me about it, though. So the main guy, he's on in hiding and he has a lieutenant. He has this enforcer hitman guy. The hitman guy is also raising several of his daughters and has several daughters of his own.
Okay.
Like they're just trading wives and stuff. It's misogynist as hell. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
He's using all of these kids as slave labor in a Denver appliance repair shop.
Okay.
Where nobody can go in because it's just full of kids cleaning and repairing appliances.
Huh.
This is a weird trend throughout the whole thing. So, you know, I was like, oh, that's weird. You know, he wants it for slave labor, but of course he's going to exploit these people.
They've got hands. Yeah.
Yeah. They've got hands. They, you know, they can lean, they can clean. And if they're my daughters, they can, I don't know what rhymes with it.
They can clean this machine.
They can leather. Yeah, exactly. You know, the, so he's doing that. It's real weird. The idea of the secret appliance repair shop. Then, that guy dies. A son takes over the cult. More murders happen. More of this stuff happens.
Okay.
The guy who died, he wrote a book with his hit list in it that gets out and a bunch of people get a hold of it and start trying to fulfill his work.
Oh, no.
Murdering people. Oh, they go to shit. Murder these two other guys. They've both also started appliance repair shops. And then a third guy who has started an appliance repair shop. And I had the thought, what if God was talking to them and they did have a mission, but it was appliance repair? Because that is the, other than murder and
it's the only polygamy, through line. Yeah.
It is the biggest through line in this family. And then they're like, when there was a fourth one that popped up, I lost my fucking mind. Like somebody, and these are, this is across three states, like it's like Denver, Oregon, and Texas, big different cities in Texas. All they do is start appliance repair shops.
And were all of them cult
yes,
slavery?
They're all members of the cult. Some of them had tried to get out and that's why they got murdered. The coolest part of the documentary is at the end, the new leader of the cult organized something called the 4 o'clock murders, where he put three people in disguise as the same person. This is actually really smart, like a cool crime thing. Disguised three people the same way and had them murder the three remaining people on the hit list all at the same time.
Okay.
And because they were all dressed the same, you can't prosecute somebody. You can say that like they were one of the murderers, but unless you know exactly who they murdered, you can't prosecute them.
Oh.
Right? Like you have to go to trial for a specific murder. You can't go to trial for the murder of one of these three people.
Oh, right? Wow. So like it's, it, he's there. It's
a one shell for, game.
It's one for, it's a shit. It's three card Monty on top of gliding overall.
It's three, three card murder. Yeah. It is gliding overall, gliding over three in a repair shop, another repair shop. And you're not going to believe this, a third repair shop. Like it was just really weird as a thing. And just also really gross, right? Like polygamous cult, disgusting. You know,
right,
just like
right.
guys just, promising daughters to guys to be their wives when they're like 12.
It's
fucking disgusting.
It's so mundane, right? Just like you can think of a reason why that would be like, oh, it's their industry, it's their business, right?
Yeah.
You know, they just like that's how we made the money and we're going to franchise out. Like, regardless of if I'm still in the cult, I can, you know, I know appliance repair, I know how to set up a shop, can keep labor costs real low.
Yeah. I have 12 kids and I have access to up to 5,000 kids.
Right. It is so mundane, and that is contrasting with just the bug nuts nature of, you know, cults, right?
Yeah.
There are rituals, like there's supposedly something like supernatural and presuming to the divine with this, right?
Yes.
So that contrasts
the murders were with the mundanity of just slave labor. Like the murders were all called blood atonements. Uh-huh. And the all of the people who they interviewed had big coworker energy. Like they all seemed like coworkers you'd have in an office job.
Right. Right.
You know, in a non particularly charismatic way. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that was really fascinating was sussing out how much they had internalized. So one of the things is they would never say murder. They only said blood atonement.
Oh,
because that's what they referred to it in this cult, this mm-hmm. idea that you'd blood atone somebody, they would die. Their blood would go into the soil and that would atone. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they would just be like, yeah, you know, I was there the day that he blood atoned John. It was really scary. Like, they turned
into a verb?
Literally that. Yeah, really? Literally that. Like, no joke. And just like, there's so many blood atonements. Like, the people were just talking. They would never say murder. They would only say a blood atonement. And one lady, you got the sense that she wishes, like, she's like, all that murder stuff was bad. I'm still pretty into this cult. Those were kind of the good old days. Like,
yeah, because one of the people there was your childhood. Yeah,
exactly. Like, I'm very sympathetic to these people in the way that their brains were broken, but you could see that their brains were broken.
Right.
In very specific fucked up ways mm-hmm. by these awful demon men.
Right. You know, and you bring those people back. And obviously that story probably should be told, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, and this can happen literally anywhere. And like, that's interesting, but like, I want the sequel documentary, which is like, hey, what's your life like now? Like, how does that affect, you know,
some of that gets in there. Like, it's not happy. A lot of people killed themselves.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, it wasn't good. The most fascinating, the other fascinating thing that happened in it, again, I'm not recommending this. It was 5 hours of content and maybe, you know, 2 hours of cool shit to get to
right.
it.
Yeah.
The final scene of them all together is them watching the 1990s made for TV movie about their dad. And they like saw themselves in it. Mm-hmm. And this, I think possibly the first role, maybe not the first role, but one of the very earliest roles for Bryan Cranston.
Really?
As the prosecuting attorney in this made-for-TV movie.
Huh.
Yeah. So they're all in this couch being like, oh, there you are. There's you right before the blood atonement. And then Bryan Cranston walks up. They're like, it's Bryan Cranston. And they're all losing their mind. Like, oh, when I watched this when it came out, I didn't recognize him.
Yeah.
And as a teen, I watched the movie about my murder family. You know,
to do a little factoid, you know, icebreaker. What's something interesting about you? Well, you know, Walt from Breaking Bad. Yeah, that actor. He played the guy who took my dad down,
who prosecuted my dad, who he later died in prison.
Yeah.
I'm the daughter of Ervil LeBaron.
God,
the Ervil LeBaron was constantly trying to kill other polygamous cult leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, like, polygamous cults are a big thing, and they hate each other.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, it's like GTA Chinatown Wars.
Yeah.
But with polygamous cults. Crazy Taxi Fair Wars. But with polygamous cults.
But again, it goes back to this, you know, incredibly mundane, right? Like, oh, this is just so much about just controlling women and having as many kids as possible to have dominion over them. Like, it's mundane. I get it. Also, like, esoteric and pretending to the divine. The third part of it, and this is what I was going to finish when
appliance
I was talking about. The appliance repair. The fact that everybody set out and then just did the same thing. So we have mundane, esoteric, but also just a complete lack of imagination.
Yeah.
Right? There are just so many of these polygamous cults, and that's all they can think to do.
That's the highest thing they can aspire to. They literally thought by doing these murders, they were creating God's kingdom on earth, mm-hmm. and God's kingdom on earth was not that different from a rent-a-center. He's just really bonkers.
Yeah. Like, fishers of men? No, fixers of toasters.
Like, the whole thing was just obviously very sad because there were people who were just, you know, the very notable motivation, you know, what you're talking about, where it's like, oh, this is just misogyny and slave labor.
Yeah.
Like, a tale as old as time. Yeah. A lot of people were true believers.
Mm-hmm.
Those people were also mentally unwell. Like, I don't feel bad for them. They did monstrous acts, but like, mm-hmm. people were really a lot of fucking crazy people.
Yeah.
You know, and you're not trying to be ableist about it, but just people who were very unwell, made other people's lives very hard.
Yeah.
Killed a lot of people.
And very unsympathetic.
Yes. Yeah. Really rough stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Ooh, yeah. So that's what that show is. It's not particularly good, but it mm-hmm. is the actual story of it's fascinating.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe you want to read a book about it.
Yeah. Or you just read or, you know, listen to the Behind the Bastards about it or something.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or even just read the Wikipedia about it. It'd probably be fine.
Yeah. That would probably suffice. You know,
I just needed to, you know, knowing the story of what happened was cool. Mm-hmm. The presentation of it was slow paced and honky.
God, honky. Well, I mean, it's a polygamous Mormon offshoot.
Yeah, it was some honky pacing, all with all names like Hiram and like Boovis and stuff. Verbal, like everyone had these weird, crazy, like great names.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man,
Crumless.
That's tender loving care.
Yeah, that is tender loving care. It's mm-hmm. all right. You know, there are worse things to do with your time. Mm-hmm. If you like the show, head on over to patreon.com/duckfeedtv and join us.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
Join us. There's a lot of stuff. There's two extra episodes of this show. There's whole bonus shows, like Real Lich Hours, our show about Baldur's Gate 3, Unfilmable, our show about horror movies. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's good stuff.
Yeah. We think it's good stuff. Please share with your friends. Please leave ratings and reviews. And please join us in thanking our producer, Gwen.
Thank you, Gwen.
Yeah. And what should they do until next time?
Until next time, this has been Abject Suffering, where we can't say trampoline.